you say? It's public after this point. We're talking about Reno. Okay, we are good.
Welcome, library fans, to the new and improved library board. Welcome to our new broad spectrum. I am Gretchen Havner, your host and library board president, and I am calling this meeting to order at 5:21. I apologize for being late, but we're ready to go. First up today is approval of the minutes. Has anyone had a chance to review the minutes?
Do we have a note taker?
Do we have a note taker? Okay, well.
I could go grab a tablet if you guys.
We will wait. While you're doing that, why doesn't everyone else read the minutes quickly?
Randy, you have them. Do you want to see them?
Loaning them to Maddie so we can approve the minutes from March 9th.
Ooh.
And I don't know who wrote them, but I think they did an excellent job.
It was Maddie.
Great job, Maddie. So Maddie's now reviewing her own minutes. I did read them, so I will move to approve them.
You guys are funny.
Okay, I'm back. So we started at 5:21.
That's right.
And we approved a minute. We approved minutes.
I'll second it, yes.
Yeah, so we unanimously approved the minutes, which moves us along to now, should we do the discussion items first, Laura?
Yeah, and then I can go through the other stuff with you. Does that sound okay, you guys?
So we're going to skip ahead to the discussion items. Laura's committed to ending at 6 o'clock tonight, so we've all had a chance to read her librarian's report, so she'll just hit the highlights at the end. So our first discussion item tonight is State of America's Library Special Report, Pandemic Year 2.
So last year I shared the State of America's Library Special Report, Pandemic Year 1 with you guys, and ALA came out with Pandemic Year 2 a couple months ago, and I sent it out to all of you guys, but I wanted to put it in the board report just to see if you guys had any questions about everything.
Now, the doorbell means someone's trying to get in.
It is. So there's probably somebody else trying to get on Zoom right now. We'll see him pop up in a minute.
Let's see if tech support can let them in.
I don't have it on here. IT's got it now.
While we're waiting, I apologize. I did not let you all know that Ryan Parker is here, our liaison from City Council, and he is here in person as well.
He just got off
work. And eating his dinner, but we are not going to mention the fact he did not bring shakes for all of us. But next time, I'm sure that he will.
You guys are funny. So State of America's Libraries Pandemic Year 2 is talking about Patty Wong, who was the previous American Library Association president, was talking about book bans. And it's one of the things that we're going to be talking about after this conversation. There's a lot more challenges that are going on right now, especially related to LGBTQ, race. You're seeing a lot more of those challenges right now. So the article talks about censorship, book banning, about what's going on. I would not be surprised if we see more challenges come our way here. Where I worked before in the school, I didn't work in the school district, I worked for the public library. But the school district in Medford, the high school had pulled all of the Handmaid's Tale books. And so that's been a big controversy down there. You're seeing a lot of it in Idaho and Florida, Alabama, a lot of states and certain districts and public libraries. I would not be surprised if we see more of these. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that. Because we are seeing an uptick with that. And we do celebrate Banned Books Week here in Newport, and I usually bring a proclamation in front of City Council for that, and we'll be doing that. And we're hoping to roll out in August a banned book library card design contest to the public, to the community, so we can create another library card, kind of like what we did with the Centennial. And then we can do programming around book challenges and banning and why it happens, this whole education component.
Is that one of the things awaiting Library Foundation approval?
It is.
Okay, so stay tuned.
It's going to be good. We want to do Jeopardy with the teens and the kids, and then we want to do trivia over at Beer One during that week, and then have prizes, and then do like a mini art show with the contest, the people who actually submit entries for it.
The main question is, are you going to have the beloved banned book table again? Because that is my favorite part of Banned Book Week.
Yes, we will do that. You know, you'll probably see a lot more of it this year. So, like, just kind of touching on this, you guys, is, like, who's initiating challenges you're seeing? 18% of that coming from boards and administrations. 10% is coming from political and religious groups. 6% is coming from librarians and teachers. 2% is coming from elected officials. 1% is from students, and 44% of the challenges are taking place in school libraries, 37% is from public libraries, 18% from schools, 1% from academic and other. And then you're seeing, like, because ALA's Office for Intellectual Freedom tracks this, so what I'm going to talk to you guys about after this is going to be one of those things that's going to be tracked by the Oregon Library Association Intellectual Freedom Committee, but it'll also go to ALA to be part of that statistic, because this is really important data that they collect. But you're seeing more of it from, like, books, graphic novels, and textbooks, a lot of that, 82% of that. You're seeing it with programs and meeting rooms, 5% displays and exhibits, films, and then there's, like, an other area with filtering, access databases, magazines, online resources, artwork, social media, music, pamphlets. I would not be surprised when they do this pandemic year 3 state of libraries that we see those numbers go up. Okay, but I wanted to at least talk about that a little bit. Hi, Millie. And then the top 10 most challenged books, I guess can't see it from where I'm at, were for 2021. A lot of them were related, like I told you guys, related to race and LGBTQ+. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see that happen again moving forward the next year, too. Then the article also talks about centering on equity, diversity, and inclusion, which you guys know that we've been talking about a lot in library land, and I've been talking to you guys about, and we're continuing to do more training around that. And then diversifying our collection, looking at how we select items, looking at how we categorize items, even like the subject headings, that's going to keep continuing to work, and even like the programs that we're doing and we're offering, making sure that we're inclusive to everyone. And I mean, you guys all know that we have a really large and growing Hispanic and Indigenous community, and making sure that we have programs for everyone, and then tackling the language barrier too, which has been one of the challenges that we've had, not just in the library, but for the city as a whole, being able to tackle that too. So I just kind of want to touch base on that a little bit with you guys, see if you have any questions. The article also talks about the ongoing fight that libraries are going through with COVID-19 and how they're rising to the occasion with, like, vaccination clinics, how they're doing curbside pickup, virtual programming, like the take and make kind of kits, some of the in-person programs, a lot of things that we're doing already here in Newport and that we're going to continue offering. I think we learned a lot from all of this. A lot of those things we're going to keep around. And that is it, as far as that goes. So I don't know if you guys have any questions about that, but I want to touch base on it. You guys can all read that, but it's a 34-page document that I sent you for your reading pleasure.
Okay, any questions for Laura about the State of America's Libraries?
So Laura, I wanted to...
Yeah, go right ahead.
I just wanted to share, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we also have our families who are, you know, coming to us from Guatemala, and there's some, you know, it's an Acateco version, so which it's an Aztec and another language that have come together, but they have no written language.
No.
So I wanted you to know, because I didn't want you, if you were trying to search for things for the community, you know, they won't have a written language.
No, we're trying.
And that's not a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to find as much as we can, Millie, when we go down to Guadalajara. That's down there mm-hmm. from the Big Feel, which is like the largest Spanish language book fair, and you get some Mayan mm-hmm. materials, but you don't find a lot. And then we've been working with a lot of community partners trying to bridge that gap too. And then we're going to see if we can start doing videos too, if we're doing programs. That's going to be a little bit harder to tackle than Spanish, just because that's a hard one, but we're working on it. We are working on
it. Well, I do know, I don't know if you know her, Estella.
Yes, she's wonderful.
Okay. Yeah, so we might be able to see. I usually ask her to help me with conferences. That's why I have a connection with her. And we've known each other for a while. So, but let me know, if, you know.
She was part of our library strategic plan stakeholder group when we did that. Ellen had introduced her to me. And so she's been involved a little bit with stuff, like asking her for feedback with everything too. And then I don't know if you guys know that we have a growing Mandarin community here too. So I think we're gonna see more languages that are being brought to the table, and more cultures that we need to make sure that we're representing, especially if we wanna be inclusive and we wanna be able to reach everybody.
Okay, well, if there aren't any other questions, we will segue into 4B, request for reconsideration of library materials. So we'll be talking about the impact of banned and challenged materials here in our own library. Laura?
So we don't get these very often, and we have a regular patron that comes in who wanted us to pull a magazine called Guns and Ammo. This is right after the shooting had taken place in Texas. And I told her that we can't just pull stuff off of the shelf. That's not how things work. And so I told her if she filled out this form that I'd bring it to the board at our next meeting to talk about this. I did tell her that we have low circulation on this particular magazine. We have one circ right now, so it's going to end up weeding itself out anyways. Because there's other magazines that have higher circulation, but I felt like this was a good exercise for you guys, as well as the library staff, to become familiar with requests for reconsideration with library materials, and it would be a good opportunity for us to be able to track something like this. So this person's name is Roxy, and Roxy did not like that we had Guns and Ammo magazine in the library. And that we should not have anything with shotguns, machine guns, anything related to that, especially with what's going on. And that she thought that this is not appropriate for any age group, and that that there's nothing positive in this, and that she finds it pretty much despicable, and that guns are weapons of death and disruption, and the people use them to kill, and she wants it to be removed from the shelf immediately and not to bring it back. And she said the purpose of this material is to kill, okay? One of the things I told her is that libraries don't just pull things based off of, I mean, we have to take this kind of seriously, right? So we have a policy, and I kind of wanted to tell you guys, it's 4.5, patron input regarding the collection. It's paragraph 2. You don't have this in front of you. I'm going to read it to you, though. Patrons wishing to express concern about materials already in the collection will be invited first to discuss their concerns with appropriate staff and or director, which has happened with me. Should a patron still be unsatisfied, she or he may formally request that the library consider its classification or possession of an item by submitting a request for reconsideration of library materials form to the library director, which is what happened. In the event that the request of reconsideration is submitted, the director will notify the board as soon as possible. That's what I told you guys. In consultation with appropriate staff, the director will promptly review the item in question together with any available reviews of the material and will render a decision as an appropriate action. The director will convey this decision to the requester in writing. Should the patron wish to pursue the matter further, she or he may ask the director bring the matter before the board. At this point, the director and appropriate additional staff, having reviewed the material in question, will each fill out a copy of the requester reconsideration form, including his or her recommendation as to an appropriate action. The board will consider the request and these staff recommendations at the next regular board meeting and will render a decision as an appropriate action. This decision will be final and will be conveyed in writing to the patron submitting the request.
Okay, so what step do we need to take tonight?
So I kind of need to know your thoughts about this challenge for us to pull Guns and Ammo magazine out of the library.
I want to say something about this. I appreciate the concern, but that magazine's been around for 50 or 60 years. It's mostly for hunting supplies and for smithing and things like that. We live in a rural county where a lot of people hunt and own firearms. And I think the tone I hear, you know, the tone of it, I appreciate it, but it's also a First Amendment issue. I'm concerned that if we start banning one particular magazine, then a different political viewpoint might look at other magazines, and then where does it stop? And so knowing this is a kind of a mainstream hunting supply publication, I'd be a little bit concerned about banning it. Generally, I'm not really in favor of curtailing free speech, especially in a trade publication.
Anybody else have any input? You have to unmute yourself, Stormy.
Oh, okay. When Stormy's done, I'll say something too.
Stormy, you're still on mute.
Okay. Ellen, do you want to say something then?
I'm unmuted. Sorry, I'm having a little technical. I've been out in the fields in the hot sun all day and I'm a little brain dead. I'm just going to say, I mean, I really agree with the comments that were just surfaced. I absolutely understand the spirit of the concern, given everything that's happening in the community and in the world we live in right now. But I mean, from a personal experience, my family has subscribed to that publication for years. As an advertiser and marketer, I've purchased ad space in that magazine for years. I don't feel that, I think it does open up a super dangerous can of worms to ban it based on one person's legitimate, obviously, and personal feelings. But I think it's that. I think it's personal feelings. And I don't think that it's a publication that's a call to danger or to incite mass shootings. And in fact, I do think it covers responsible ownership. I have concerns about pulling it due to that, to the one woman's important personal concerns, but I wouldn't support it.
Thank you, Stormy.
Ellen, you had a comment?
Yeah, really, Stormy and Brian both summed up how I feel too. I just think it's a super slippery slope to start thinking about pulling materials from the library. And we're in this political situation and human situation right now that's, I think, going to really challenge us. And I get the concerns for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing all that up, everybody.
I have a question. This is Melly. I've seen.
I can't hear Melly.
Oh, maybe it's me. Hold on. It could be me. I'm having a hard time. How's that better?
No, I think there's something must be wrong with your audio.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just take this one. because I didn't know what was going on in the rest of the house. But I was just thinking, when we say banned, does that mean it won't be in the library or subscribed? Because I'm just clarifying for myself. Is that what that term would mean?
We would pull it and not have it back in the collection is what would happen. And that's what she's asking. And I had told Roxy, who had brought this forth, that this particular magazine will probably end up being weeded anyways, because we have really low circs and we have other magazines that have higher circulation on it. And it's been a number of years that this has had low circs. I mean, we've not very many people come in and check it out. And a lot of magazines are going out of print right now. You're seeing more of them go electronic. And I think that's going to keep happening.
So I would advise everyone, though, that the question before us today is, do we feel this material is inappropriate to have in our library? Whatever natural things happen through the library processes of what they choose to renew or not is really not before us today. The only question for us today is, should this material be immediately removed from the shelves and not allowed to be viewed by the general public? So, Yvonne, do you have any comments you wish to make?
Okay, I think I'm unmuted. Basically, I think I echo the same thoughts that have been brought up. Absolutely, the person's complaint or concern is very valid, because it is a very powerful issue. It's also a very polarizing issue, but I certainly appreciate this person's concern. And at the same time, I am not sure that I can personally connect dots in a way that would align to say this material's presence in the library is a direct cause or would become a direct cause from the situations that, of course, that we would dread. So just looking at the basic question of whether or not this material is inappropriate or poses harm to us, to our community, I am really not able to say that it does. Of course, I have not actually looked at the magazine, and probably, I think last time I knew of a family member who had it, might have been over 10 years ago. And as I recall, it was a lot of articles, as Ryan had said, I think it was Stormy said, responsible ownership and educating people about handling conservation issues and that sort of thing responsibly and educating. So I think at this point, I'm kind of operating on my knowledge that may be a little bit outdated. I probably would benefit from looking at a current copy right now to see if there is a change in the publication that would pose a threat. But just the institution as a whole, Guns and Ammo as a magazine, it has always been about responsible hunting and all of the components that go with that, whether it's reloading, purchasing ammunition, any of those things, and always with that direct purpose. So I really cannot find a reason why I would say that it's inappropriate for having in a public library.
Thank you, Yvonne. Maddie, do you have any comments you wish to add at this time?
I think I'd also need to look at a publication of it before I can provide an honest opinion on it, just because I don't even think I've looked at that magazine before.
So the question then is, we do have a quorum. We're directed to make a response at the next meeting, which is today. Do you feel comfortable moving forward voting on this issue tonight? Or do you wish to request a continuance till the next meeting and so that you may view the publication?
I personally am comfortable making a decision and making a stand tonight. Excuse me.
I am as well.
Okay, so I believe, I looking at all your facial expressions, that no one is requesting for a continuance tonight. So we are prepared to move forward. Just to let everyone know, Ryan is not a voting member. So while he can make comments, as he did, he is not actually a voting member of the library board. We do have a quorum. We're only missing one member tonight. So we are able to move forward. Is there a motion on the floor?
I would make a motion that we would keep the listed material on the shelves and respectfully thank the person that offered the request.
I mean, I would second that if that's the appropriate way, you know, to phrase the, if that, because it's kind of a hard one. I don't know what the motive, but I mean, that sounds, I would agree with Ellen. However, the wording may need to morph a bit.
And I'll write a letter, formal letter when I'm back from vacation, you guys, and I'll CC you on the letter so you guys know what's going on.
But Laura, you believe that the motion complies with the library requirements?
Yes, and then you guys just have to vote yay or nay.
I would note that Laura's also, while she can advise us on library policy, also is not a voting member. So because of the seriousness of this issue, I'm going to ask everyone individually what your vote is. Yes means that you support the language and the motion put forward by Ellen, that the library materials should remain on the stands. Yes, Ellen.
Let's all say what we want to say in terms of how we want this to go, because I didn't even write down what I said. So I'm sure it can be said better. Does anyone want to try to say that so I can write it down? Or should I get, maybe I should. Okay.
How about something like, while the library board appreciates the sincere concern brought forward by this patron, we believe that this material should remain on the shelves and available for the public to check out.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That seems pretty succinct and to the point, yes.
Mm-hmm. Any additions, feel free.
Okay. Well, the library board appreciates the sincere concern of the petitioner.
What technically is it called? I just said the library patron challenging this material.
The patron. That's good.
The
library patron.
Request.
We believe the materials should continue to remain on the shelves and
available to access to the public.
Available to access to the public. Thank you.
I think that, it would be that by is, the public. Available.
That was well said, what my intention was. So thank you for putting that into words.
It's almost like that's one. My job.
Okay, well, I like it.
Go ahead, Laura, you were going to add something.
Oh, just that it's the request, if you guys needed the wording, request for reconsideration of library material. If that helped. But I think you guys had perfect wording. You guys are
good. So the patron who submitted the request for reconsideration of public library material.
Of library material.
Of library material. Yeah, I think it's important that we put that in
correctly. Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, got it. So should I say that again, or are we ready to vote?
Say it again with the motion, and then whoever, Stormy had seconded it, and then you guys will vote.
Okay. I would like to make a motion that the library board appreciates the sincere concern of the library patron who initiated the request, Although we believe the material should continue to remain on the shelves and available to access to the public.
I think it would be available for access by the public.
For access by the public. Got it.
And
so that's my motion.
So Stormy, are you and seconding?
Yes, I continue to second it.
Okay, so Maddie, how do you vote on this motion? So yes means that you support the motion as written. No would mean that you disagree with it.
Yes, I agree.
Stormy?
Yes.
Melly?
Yes.
Yvonne?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
And I think technically under the rules of procedure, I would only vote in the case of a tie as the library board chairman, but I also vote yes.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. Is there any bits? No.
Well, I called everyone by name, all said yes, so there would be no no's or abstentions. Karen Appland is absent tonight. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to public comment. We actually do have a member of the public here tonight. So if he would like to speak, he would simply need to tell us his name. And then you get 3 minutes for public comment. So welcome.
Hi. Take a seat real quick. So my name is Michael Ryu. And I am the current sitting chairperson for the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And one of the projects that we've been working on within our committee over the past year or so has been trying to establish liaison with other city committees and stuff like that. So library board came up last night. We had two members, myself and one other, new to the committee, volunteer. She couldn't figure out that we were in council chambers and couldn't get anybody's attention, so she didn't end up coming. So I'm here, just kind of listen in, wanted to introduce myself to you guys and get to know you and see what kind of areas of overlap your committee and your library board actions might have with Bike Ped and things like that.
And Beth, who's the associate city planner, had told me, but I didn't know if you guys were going to be here, that they want to be able to do more cross collaboration. And so we can do more together with our committees because there's a lot of opportunity for overlap.
And we're partnering. Well, welcome.
Thank you. And we've been trying to work with other committees like Parks and Rec, where, of course, there's a lot of overlap with Bike Ped stuff with that, too. So we're just kind of looking at what the other city committees are doing and just, again, as she said, cross collaboration and trying to broaden the scope of what all of our committees are doing.
So. Well, that's really exciting. And knowing Laura, I'm sure she will quickly think of something for you all to do in cooperation with the library because she is a doer.
I had lunch with Beth already.
I interrupted someone, so feel free to speak if you have something to say to Michael.
Okay, sorry. This is Ellen. Michael, how do you spell your last name?
R-I-O-U-X.
Ellen is our
That's not how I spelled it.
You're officially here.
Nobody ever gets it.
Yeah, and what is the name of the organization, the Bicycle?
It's the Bike and Ped Committee for the Bicycle and Ped Pedestrian Committee for the City of Newport. Yeah.
Bicycle Pedestrian
Got it. Thank
Advisory
you guys.
Committee.
Advisory Committee. They're advisory committee like you guys.
Advisory Committee. Okay.
Yep.
For City of Newport. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
So just so you guys know, we meet every other month. We always meet here. If you get here by 5, you can come in any door.
Well, I'll ask for the doors to be unlocked, too. I'll bug IT about making sure the doors are unlocked.
Oh, okay, I thought you had to be here by 5. I'm always racing here to get in because I have been known to be late. So it's July, so our next meeting would be in September.
September.
Okay. We are still doing hybrid meetings, as you can see, because that works better for some of our members. So if you would rather appear from the comfort of your own home, Laura can tell you where to get the link, because I think it is on the website.
Yes, September 14th is the next meeting. Okay. It'll be the next one.
September 14th?
Yeah, September 14th at 5:15. And I'll send that out to you guys, because we're going to have a lot of policies next meeting. Sorry.
So that one won't be as exciting as challenge materials.
No,
but.
And okay. I still get to talk to you about my librarian's report.
our idea really was, and I wanted to come to this one just to introduce myself and introduce the concept of, but our idea really was more that we'd have liaisons within our committee and we would pull up your committee's meeting minutes and kind of review them and then possibly approach and look for areas where we can have a discussion about cross-collaboration ideas, like art events that might involve walking or cycling or things like that, or other library events. I understand you do some story walks and things like that. So, you know, there's areas where things you do kind of overlap with the things that we're trying to get the city to do for better bicycle pedestrian infrastructure and stuff like that. So any opportunity that we can to push city council to do more for people to walk and bike, it's an opportunity.
I can tell by the look on Laura's face that we're all going to become great friends, and she's quite excited to see you here.
Beth and I've had a lot of conversations.
Our collaboration with Parks and Rec is now resulting in a joint meeting next month with their full committee and our full committee. It started with a chance meeting with the new Parks and Rec director, Mike Cavanaugh, at the opening of the staircase over by the Best Western. Coming out from the Agate Beach Wayside. Just happened to be there with another bike ped member. And he said, hey, we should collaborate on some stuff. And it just sort of snowballed from there to where now we're sending out feelers to every committee in the city to see what we can do.
Well, we want in, so you're receiving a warm welcome.
I told Beth
absolutely.
I told Beth that when I had lunch with her, when I had a little meeting, I was like, oh, they're going to be totally on board with this whole idea.
Yes.
And in my 6 years on this committee, you are our first public member, so welcome. We're excited to see you. I always make jokes about our fans and my love of flags, but here today I actually have an audience.
That's probably why he really came. He's probably not even from the bike thing. It's probably about the flags.
I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to meet all of you, and I'm looking forward to whatever we can come up with to do, because I think this is a great opportunity.
You're not going to have to come up with something she already has.
I can see the look on her face. I have no doubt.
You guys know me too well.
See, because of the new format, they can't actually see your face online.
I know.
I can. Usually we have computers where you can see our faces, but not tonight.
I can't say the phrase that I would use to describe her grin.
Thank you, Michael, for being here.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Laura, well, because we have this gracious public member, I'm going to give you 6 minutes to do your librarian's report. So 5 bonus minutes.
Thank you, Michael. So I gave you guys a big document. It's kind of June and July. Not all the program stuff is in here for July, just because I had to be able to pull this together, and I didn't want to give you 24 pages of a librarian's report. So a couple things I did not put in here is I told you guys several months ago that our library was selected to be in 2 of the State Library of Oregon's EDGE assessment cohorts with the State Library of Oregon. And we wrapped that up in June, both of the cohorts. And I gave a capstone presentation to all of the participating libraries. And they have shared out a lot of the resources and data that we've pulled to put our strategic plan together, advocacy pieces, with other libraries, not just in Oregon and in the cohort, but nationally too. And we're kind of like that little star library right now, which is really cool. But I was able to share kind of our story with what happened with COVID and how we've been able to crawl out of this hole and how we're kind of on the upswing with everything, with being able to do add things to our library of things, being able to expand our library of things collection, being able to have technology that's going to be able to circulate with all the different partnerships that we have in the community, participation with like the Libros for Oregon program, advocating for being able to bring some of our staff positions back that were previously allocated, which was really cool, like very cool. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we're featured in one of the Urban Libraries Council's newsletter as one of their success stories, and how we've been able to use all of this data to tell a story, as well as share additional data that we were able to use to be able to advocate for what we need with decision makers. it was very exciting, very, very exciting. So they are going to share that out, our presentation, because it was on Zoom, in future years with other cohorts that follow after us. And you'll start seeing like surveys rolling out with the community too about programs and services they would like to see that are going to be in English and Spanish. We're going to work on other languages too, but English and Spanish to start with, about what kind of programs they would like to see, if there's certain subjects they would like to see, if there's dialects that we don't offer, being able to do that. Other community input, because you guys know libraries are all about community, and it's really important to have community feedback on what we're doing. And we have that great strategic plan, and so much changed before the strategic plan, but I think we just want to be able to stay tuned in with what's going on in the community and the needs. So you'll see that. And you'll start seeing infographics, more infographics and other things too. It is very cool. So I want to tell you guys about that. We have reopened the children's department. That was reopened on June 1st, and we had a big kickoff ribbon cutting ceremony with the chamber ambassadors, as well as some of the city administration. We kicked it off at noon that day, and part of it was because it was the one time I could get some of the chamber ambassadors there. I know the kids were not out of school yet. We had activities that took place all afternoon for everybody, and it was the kickoff to our summer reading program, which was really exciting. And you guys can see the picture with the mayor and everybody in there. It was really cute. And we handed, we had robot crafts, we had cupcakes, we had some fun with Clifford. The kids were giving Clifford the big red dog lots of love. Then we had prizes for the best storybook character costume, and we had more fun. And then we even had the Newport Police Department come, and they read stories to the kids in English and Spanish, which was really cool. And we got that on video. And we're hoping when we start up story times back in the fall, because we were waiting for vaccination rates to come down to the littlest, because we don't want a massive outbreak at the library. That would make us all feel horrible. But when we start up story times in the fall, that we'll have some guest readers that are coming in from the various city departments, and some different people who are in the community to be guest readers rotating in. Because they were really excited to be there and interacting with the kids. So to make sure I told you guys that. Some of the good news is we have our new adult services and outreach librarian, Emily Heverly, and she started in May, and she's wonderful. She's hitting the ground running. And she started on May 19th. So she's been over here going on almost 2 months now, and she came from Michigan, and she's phenomenal. It's been really good. And then we have our part-time bilingual community resource specialist, Rachel Diego Leon. She started on May 18th. And that position is budgeted to go full-time this fiscal year. So you'll start seeing more bilingual signage going out, policies going out, becoming bilingual. You'll see signage in the library. You're going to start seeing an English and Spanish newsletter. Just give us a little bit of time. But you'll start seeing more information going out in different languages too, and she's already been able to help with like input on some of the topics that we should have and subjects and dialects, and then helping with translating some of the stuff that we're sending out too. But you're kind of limited with 20 hours what you can do and with desks, so it'll be nice when we actually get her up to full time. That's been really exciting. I don't know if you guys have been in recently, but we are also handing out naloxone kits. And I don't know if you're familiar with what's going on with fentanyl right now. We have a partnership with the Lincoln County Harm Reduction, and we're piloting a program to offer free low-barrier naloxone kits to the community. And people just come up to the circulation desk and they tell you that they would like a naloxone kit. We don't ask for any personal information. We hand out a packet of information about how to administer that, FAQs, some additional documentation with that, and then they're on their way. And we handed out 43 naloxone kits in the first month of this program, which was way more than anybody thought. And we are the one site and site that is doing this with them, has this kind of partnership. And we're in a prime position for that, especially with the people that we serve in our community. Libraries are open for everybody. And you're seeing all ages, especially with more awareness about what's going on with fentanyl. People are concerned and they would rather have something on hand to be able to help. It is not an ends mean to anything with it. One of the things that they've had struggles with is somebody will use a naloxone kit and then they automatically go into withdrawals and then they'll either use again or they don't go to the hospital right away. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with fentanyl, but it's very, very strong. It's very deadly. So we're trying to help with that. And we're in prime position. And we also have condoms and lube and some hygiene products in each of the restrooms for people too with through this partnership. And then through smaller grants that we're trying to secure as basic necessity because we're open to everybody. And we're getting a lot of questions from community members too. Which has kind of prompted us to find a way to help address it and find this great partnership. We handed out 9 kits last month. I don't know what we're up to this month, but I report the figures every month to city administration so they know how many kits we're giving out. And that information is being shared with city council as well as sharing it with Lincoln County Harm Reduction, as much data as possible. So it's kind of, we're an access point where community members can come. So I don't know if you guys have had one, picked one up. If you want to come in and grab one, they're free. We're even getting the first aid and CPR. People who are taking in the classes, they're coming in after they get done or on their lunch break and picking up kits too. And people
That's
are thanking
so
us
excellent.
For it. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, that really makes me happy. Thank you for doing that, Laura, and for your whole team.
Yeah, we're trying. We went through training too, so you guys know. CPR. I'm trying to get everybody CPR certified. I have a couple more I need to get our new people. it's one of those extra tools in our tool belt that we want to be prepared because it is out there, and I don't want to be ignorant to the fact that it's there and it could happen. And if people tell you it doesn't happen, I used to have to deal with overdoses all the time where I worked previously, and it was really scary, and I wish that I would had this kind of training and support to be able to jump into action instead of waiting for first responders to show up or just have something on hand. So that's one of the cool things that we're doing right now too. We've been going on the radio show. We go on the radio show every month. Our next show is July 28th. Vanessa and Rachel are gonna go on the radio show this month and they'll talk about what's going on at the library and introduce Rachel. And then we're also holding First Friday Fireplace 50-cent book sales on the first Friday of each month. So you can come in and you can spend 50 cents on a book because we got a lot of donations from people. And it's bringing a lot of money in for the foundation and it's helping us weed down all the donations that we got and make some room, additional room for our Library of Things items. So the next one, we just had one on July 1st, so it's going to be August 5th. It'll be the next book sale, and it takes place all day. So you guys, if you have a chance to come in and you want to get some books and pay 50 cents for them, they're on a table.
What
in front
a bargain.
Of them. I know, it's such a bargain. We also went and presented to city council and to the mayor and to the city, Vanessa, myself, and some of our teen volunteers. And so I sent you guys a picture of it. It was really cute. They had a short presentation where they discussed the teen volunteer program, the teen room, teen programming, and what they enjoy about the library. And one of the things that was really highlighted is that it's a safe, inclusive, and welcoming environment for everyone. And they created a giant card for city council that they all signed and wrote messages in. It was great. It was really great. So I had to tell you guys about that. I'm going to be taking off some time this month in July to practice some self-care. So my sister came up and visited, so I took a couple days off. And then I'm getting ready to take off tomorrow to go visit my dad in Reno. And I'll be back for a couple days, and then I'm taking another week off to enjoy some time with my kids. Just kind of letting you guys know that I'll be in and out a little bit, but if you need anything, you guys can email me or call. I may not be quick to respond, but I'm going to take some time off because my babies are growing up too fast. I have a high schooler.
Oh, God, Laura.
I know. Gretchen does, too, because Gretchen's daughter is the same age as Colin, and her oldest is already
in high school.
My kids are both
in high school. I have a junior.
I don't like it.
We're not going to burst into sunrise, sunset today, but when my kid's a senior, maybe, but not today.
Not today. We're not ready for that. Our library hours are going to be expanding starting next week on Tuesday.
Yay!
Now that we have some of our staff in place, this is what I had told you guys. I needed to get everybody in place before we did this and trained. So we are at that point. So next week on Tuesday, July 19th, we are going from 31 hours to 40 hours of service that will be open. We're going to be open... It's exciting, really exciting. We'll be open on Tuesdays from 10 to 6, Wednesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 7, Friday 10 to 6, and Saturday from 11 to 5. We're going to see how that goes and how everybody's doing with workloads. This is probably where we're going to be. There's no way that we're going to be going back to 7 days a week into 62 hours a week, especially with the reductions that we had in staff.
So you're still closed on Sunday and Monday?
We're still closed on Sunday and Monday. There are a couple of us that are there on Mondays because I usually have department head meetings and other things that are going on Mondays, but there's not very many of us that are there. And some of the staff is answering phones. But we're open 5 days a week. We'll be open 40 hours a week, which is good.
That's great.
And I think we're ready for it. We're excited. It'll be good. We're still handing out COVID tests. So you guys know about that too. So if you guys need COVID tests, come in, pick them up. They're free. And then we're doing a foster children's supply closet donation drive with the Rotary Club of Newport this month. So if you guys have any new adult size socks, men's and women's t-shirts and blouses, pullover sweatshirts, men's and women's underwear, full size shampoo and conditioner, toothpaste, toothbrushes, or other hygiene items, if you want to bring those in, we have a box that's over kind of across from the circulation desk that is there to accept donations. I want to let you guys know about that. We attended the Fiesta Latinx event at the Lincoln County Fair, which was a great event. I don't recall how many people we had that came by, but we saw a lot of familiar faces that we haven't seen in a while and saw a lot of new faces, which was great. So I think you'll see us more at more outreach events, too. We're going to be going – where are we going? We're going to be going to National Night Out on August 2nd. And then Newport is going to have a big Pride celebration this year, and the library will be present at that too. So you'll start seeing us at more of those kind of community events. At Arco Iris's events that they have too, you'll see us at those too. It's good for us to be out in the community and being able to interact with people. We're also doing shelter.
So any questions for Laura?
Yeah, any questions, then I'll tell you more.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. One, and not so much directly about your report, Laura, but could we put an agenda item on for each meeting that might be, committee input or something, just in case we have something we want to add? And saying that, I was wondering about the culture pass. I know that we have, which is awesome. I love it that we have that. We have it available, I think, that the first of every month, and I'm not sure about the ins and outs of that, and I was wondering if we could look at expanding that at all. So those are just a couple things I want to talk about in the future, not tonight, but just that I could throw on for an additional meet. I mean, not an additional, for a next meeting or a meeting, and I could have responded to the agenda, so sorry to everyone.
We're working on it, Ellen, so you know. We're going to be expanding beyond the aquarium. There'll be more. I'm working with OCCA, the Oregon Coast Council for the Arts. I've been talking to them, Parks and Rec, being able to do something with them, Historical Society. I need to approach Dave Heater to talk to him about the Ripley's Believe It or Not. And Parks, State Parks, Ryan, I'll be bugging you guys about it too to see if there's something we can do too.
Yeah, I was just wondering about how the ins and outs go. If the, if it has to be where you reserve it, you know what I mean? It's like, and maybe I'm getting too much into like library operations. I don't want to do that, but I just want was looking for more availability for culture basses. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
And just something I wanted to propose. Nothing I'm, you know, insisting on, just if anyone else was interested in that, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Thank you for bringing that up. It was grant funded. This program was grant funded with the aquarium, and then it's been expanded to some of the other libraries too, because it's been such a successful partnership with our library that it's branched out. And then I'm going to be expanding what we had, but there's only so many hours in a day.
Totally. Yeah, I was just looking at some other library culture pass options, and it looks like there's other ways to do culture pass too. So I just didn't know if that was something we wanted to think about, or if that's, I don't want to get into the weeds of the operations of what you're doing either. So I'm not sure where that line is.
So Ellen, we'll make sure that's on the September agenda. And that will give Laura a chance to tell us the new options that she's got. And I would love to hear a little bit about how much it's being used. So it sounds like it's a great success. So
it's good. It's very
good. Yeah, that'd be great to hear more about it. Thanks for that, everyone.
Yeah, that's not a problem. And I do have plans to expand.
You have plans. What a shock.
You shouldn't be surprised by that.
Any other questions for Laura?
Can I talk about a couple more things, Gretchen, and then I'll stop, I promise.
You're way over your 10 minutes, but I guess so, because you're so excited. I know, right?
I haven't seen you. Okay, so we are adopting shelter pets. They're shells with googly eyes, and you get a certificate. If you guys have not come in, it could be your summer reading companion that you can read to. We have them in the library. They're really cute. Really, really cute. And we've been getting poems from people about their shelter pets and stories and their names. And it's really cute. So I want to make sure you guys know you should come into the library and you should adopt your own shelter pet. And you even get to name it, and you get a certificate of adoption.
I'm really hoping that there's going to be a follow-up push board or something displaying all of the community love for their shelter pet.
Oh, I'm compiling them.
Consider me advocating for that.
I love it. We're also in the midst of summer reading. We are over 300 signups so far. I didn't check to see what it was this morning, but we are well over 300 signups, which is great for all ages. We have some programs that are going on for the teens each month, and then we're doing a music series this summer for adults, kicking that off. I wanted to do this the last couple years, but we had COVID. And so we had Paul Skydema here today, and he had there were 76 people that came for his concert. Last week we had Alex Yumakinga and his family come and play, and we had over 90 people that came. And then Saturday, it's going to be a jazz trio and a Broadway belter. And then next Wednesday, we're having Linda Yap and the Lemon Drops come and perform. And then we have a bunch of programs in August and a couple in September, and it's been great. So I want to tell you guys about that. And then what else is going on? I'm almost done, Gretchen. I'm almost gone. We had a quest last night with all the Lincoln County libraries over at Big Creek Park, because we've been handing out quest books to families when they sign up for summer reading. And so we gave pizza away. They got to go on a quest. They got to sign up for summer reading. It was a grand time. We did not have enough pizza, so we learned that we need to have more pizza next time.
Were a lot of people there?
There was a good turnout. Really good turnout.
I didn't know if you just had heavy pizza eaters or...
No, they went and did their quest, and then they came and got pizza. But we did not have enough cheese pizza.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They love the cheese pizza. On the 22nd, we're going to be doing an after-hours event for our Indigenous and Hispanic community from 6 to 8. And we're going to have food, fun, and activities and library tours. And this is going to be the first of a quarterly series that we're going to be doing at the library. And we partnered with the OSU Extension Office for this, as well as the Rotary Club of Newport. So all the families that come are going to get a free book.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there opportunity to volunteer at that event?
Yes, if you'd like to volunteer, Ellen, I can send out an email.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could send out information about that, that'd be great.
Okay, I can do that.
So I know that our September agenda is going to be packed because Laura has already warned me that there's a bunch of policy stuff that we have to do in September. So I am suggesting that for our November meeting that we add an agenda item to watch the movie The Public. Laura's been telling me about this for like 3 years, and I finally watched it. It is streaming for free on Peacock, if you happen to have that. I know it's available to be checked out from the library.
We watched it this morning.
If you still have a DVD player. So that is your all's homework till November to watch the movie The Public, and we will have a brief discussion about it.
And it's kicking off more training about Librarian's Guide to Homelessness that Ryan Dowd's really involved with, and then kind of discussing a lot of the stuff that City Council and the city's talking about with our in-housed situation and how do you handle that and ways to approach. So we're doing more training with it, but we watched it this morning at the library. It's a good movie.
By November, COVID will no longer exist and we can have snacks and pretend that it's a holiday.
I love it. Do you guys have any questions about the librarian's report? I threw a lot of information at you because I haven't seen you.
I have one. How's your button making going? I'm really curious about that.
It's been popular, really popular. I don't know how many kids, Maddie, because you were there today. Was there very many that came down today? You were not there. Was Brody down there? It was right after. It's been popular. I mean, there's been a good group of kids that have been coming in every week. I don't know about this week because I was busy dealing with other stuff today when they were doing the button making. It's been popular.
No, that's all the stuff you're doing, Laura, is wonderful. I know we all agree.
We're trying.
Thank you.
It's so positive. I mean, the fact that you don't have enough time to keep going on about all the awesome things that are happening at the library is like so encouraging and uplifting. I mean, seriously, I'm so happy to hear all the great contributions that you're making as a library is making to the community. And it's just like a really great way to end the day, seriously.
I just thought of a question for Laura before I stop talking. So the Banned Book Week list of most common banned books, are those available in the school libraries as well, or?
They should
that'd
be.
That'd be a good crossover to make sure that kids can read some of those at school as well.
It's important, very important.
Send me a link to the list.
My children love the banned book table and would always gleefully check out multiple books each time. So their favorite being the penguins.
Can I tell them really quick about the grant that we got?
Can you do it in 2 minutes? Because I mean it this time.
Yes, I'll be good. So we got that other grant in for the big program that we did over at the Performing Arts Center and that we had back in May, right? Like you came, Ellie, that we had. Well, we applied for another one for a public program grant and through the foundation. And we were awarded the grant for Curiosity Cabinet.
Yay.
And Curiosity Cabinets used to be, it was usually wealthier people would go on these adventures. They'd bring things back from their adventures and they would display it. But we're not using it like that. We're using it as a way to address food insecurity and highlighting the different cultures in our community. And so we're going to have microgreens and seeds and recipes inside of it. And it'll change. I'll have an art exhibit. And it'll change quarterly, focusing on the different cultures that we're highlighting quarterly. And then we're going to do food demonstrations over at the OSU Extension Office as part of that with people who are actually from that culture using those ingredients that we're highlighting in the Curiosity Cabinet. And on top of that, it'll have a mini food pantry, too. So we're working with Lincoln County Food Share, the Rotary Club of Newport, Newport Food Pantry, a lot of our ethnic grocery stores in town, as well as the OSU Extension Office, to put this together and the foundation. And we were awarded this big grant. And so their Oregon Humanities is actually going to feature this in their magazine. And they're going to feature it in their newsletter and then put it on a social media blast with it. It's a really, really big thing for us. And we're really excited. And we have a curator, art curator, Sachiko. She'll be our art curator and helping with this. And we're really excited because it's addressing food insecurity. It's highlighting the different cultures that we have in our community. And it's pulling in art. And as you guys know, Newport is very supportive of the arts here. So to tell you that little bit of awesome news. And once I know that it's going in the magazine, I'll let you guys know.
I just have to say, can you push some recipes for rhubarb? Because we grow a lot of rhubarb at the Yaha Demo Garden, and that food share won't take it because nobody eats it.
Rhubarb's so good.
Oh, I know. I'm just putting a little plug there. Can we do something to support rhubarb?
It'd be good. It'll be good. And then next spring, we're hoping to start a seed. We'll start a seed library with the Master Gardeners. But this is kind of a bigger multi-system approach that we're addressing the food insecurity and part of my overall master plan.
Okay, well, this has been a great meeting, and it is, thank you, Laura, for all your enthusiasm and leadership. Never ask Laura for an idea because she will give you 10. That's what we love about you. But I'm adjourning this meeting at 6:26.
Thank you, guys.
Laura, I'll send you something about a grant for herbs.
Okay.